Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing earning more on savings, making six figures without a college degree, and the worst place to buy a car.
That's right. I hope folks have made it to the end of the week and that you are ready for some new headlines. We are covering personal finance headlines, how these stories affect our money. And Joel, we're going to mention some of the stories that you just shared, as well as several others during this episode.
A lot of real estate news to cover this week as well.
Yeah. So, a lot of interesting things going on.
A lot of interesting things that have a direct tie to like what you should be doing when it comes to where you live, making an offer on a house, whether you should rent versus buy, all that kind of stuff. We'll get to all that today. But before we get to that, Matt, I wanted to let you know, just speaking of real estate, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, they just bought a house down in Florida, little house down in Orlando area.
Like you do.
Like you do when you get to that age, right? Yeah, you're like, oh, Florida's looking nice. And so, they were in the process of buying this house, and it was getting close to closing time, and he received an email, and it was like, hey, your wire transfer has changed. Now you need to send money to this account. And he got the email. He was like, oh, okay, that's surprising, but maybe I should wire my money over here. But before he did, fortunately, he called the closing attorney's office to say, has anything changed, you know, with where I should be wiring the funds? And they're like, no, that's a scam. And so fortunately, he saved a huge amount of money by not falling for that scam. I want to let other people know that this is a scam that is happening often to people who are closing right now. A lot of scamsters are sending emails telling you that the funds need to be wired elsewhere. Don't believe that email. Call your closing attorney, because people are losing tens of thousands, sometimes over $100,000.
Yeah,
when it comes to the funds that they're wiring to close. So you got to pay attention. You got to be careful to avoid this one.
Yeah, and one of the reasons this is such a big deal too is that once you wire your money to somebody, it's gone. It's like you may as well have just handed a stranger cash, because there is no getting that money back. It's, I mean, like, shoot, even in the news recently, we saw with Citibank, right?
Exactly.
Like,
they found that out.
Was it 50 million?
It was 900 million,
I
think.
Oh my gosh.
It was something ridiculous.
It was so much money.
And the judge ruled, you can't have it back.
The money is gone. Like, they had wired it accidentally. So yeah, when it comes to wiring money, in particular, when you're looking to purchase a home, if you get an unsolicited email that is asking you to send that money somewhere else, don't fall for it. And you know what? Like, it could be true. Like, maybe that legitimately is your closing attorney saying that, like, it needs to go into this account. But make sure you double check that. Definitely double check that for sure.
Yeah. And if you know somebody who's closing, especially, you know, someone who's a little bit older who might be more prone to fall for the scam, you know, it might be helpful to proactively let them know that this is a scam that's happening. Because the worst thing in the world is finding out that this is a scam after the fact, after your money's gone.
And not even older folks, too. I feel like our generation and, like, even younger are more used to sending money digitally. You know? I mean, just with Venmo, Cash App.
All right, okay, cool. Let me send it now, then.
Dude, seriously. Like, even with, like, Robinhood and investing, the sort of attitudes that we have surrounding money are more fluid and instant and electronic. And so it's just like, okay, we're just going to do whatever it says without
questioning,
hopping on the phone and making a phone call. You know, like, that almost feels a little more old school to, you know, go through all the hassle of confirming that my money is going to the right place versus just being like, okay.
Yeah, getting in touch with a human. You're like, we can avoid human interaction? We often do. So that's
exactly.
A good point.
So yeah, younger generations as well, make sure we're not falling prey to that.
Totally. All right, well, Matt, let's move on to the Friday Flight, the sampling of stories we found interesting this week that affect people's personal finances. And first story up, just a quick public health update. If you hadn't already heard, you can go to vaccinefinder.org to find vaccine sites near you. This is a site run by Boston Children's Hospital, but now it's including where you can get COVID vaccine shots.
Yeah.
And I love that they have an in-stock check mark if that particular location has vaccines available. Matt, I looked up our zip code and there were like 40 something odd locations where people get the vaccine. And now, you know, we're moving into more people being eligible to get vaccinated. So yeah, go to that site to find out where you should be going to get that vaccine.
Yep, certainly can be a helpful resource for folks. And, you know, another quick tip for folks out there, one of my favorite shopping sites, shopgoodwill.com, they recently hit $100 billion in sales. And so if you haven't heard of shopgoodwill.com, like everybody has heard of Goodwill, right? and everybody out there knows about eBay. Well, shopgoodwill.com, it's sort of like this hybrid. And you can find some really great, affordable things, likely way better than what you would find at your local Goodwill. And so, you know, if you love buying stuff secondhand for less money, be sure to check it out. This actually made me think of recently Kate went to our local thrift store and she scored basically some brand new boots, dude. What is it? Madewell? It's like that really like a fancy women's clothing company, yeah. Whatever. She found some Madewell boots for $5. These boots were like virtually brand new. And we were talking about it last night and she was like, you know, I think it has something to do with the changing of seasons as well. Like, and so the seasons are changing. Folks are looking to maybe clear out their closets of clothes that they don't like anymore.
Clearing out the winter gear.
Stuff that they've never even worn. Like she had bought another shirt that still had his tags on it. So I think possibly, yeah, the changing of seasons might be a good time to check out your local spot if you particularly like the thrill of the chase.
Yeah,
and you may or may not find something. I don't know. But.
Shop Goodwill provides the online thrill of the chase.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Next story up, Matt, college enrollment is falling because of COVID. Some new numbers out and freshman enrollment plunged 13% last fall, which of course makes total sense, right? Right. Of course, a lot of people foregoing school for the time being. It was the perfect time to take a gap year. And things also too likely won't be 100% back to normal this fall. So taking a gap year might make sense for a lot of high school seniors this year, too. If the benefit-to-cost ratio just isn't there for you, for your high school senior, for your family, maybe it's time to reassess whether they should be attending school this fall or not. And we're actually looking forward to, we're going to have Ron Lieber on the podcast soon, Matt, from the New York Times. And he is going to talk about the college cost dynamics in a whole lot of detail. And yeah, really looking forward to that conversation. And I think it's going to be helpful for anybody who's trying to consider, you know, should I go back to school? Like, where should my kid be going to college? We're going to answer a lot of questions in that conversation.
Oh yeah, that's going to be a good one. And you know, speaking of college and scams as well, watch out for this student loan forgiveness scam that's going around right now. The Washington Post detailed the rise of a scam phone call where a stranger calls and they tell you that you're eligible for student loan forgiveness. Yay. But it'll cost you, right? And that's your red flag. And so while student loan forgiveness is something that our elected officials are considering, there hasn't been any real progress in that regard. And even if a student loan forgiveness bill does pass, no one is going to call you to ask for money in order to get that that forgiveness, you know, option that you might have. So don't answer phone calls from numbers you don't, you know, recognize. And if you do pick it up and you hear this pitch, that's when it's time to hang up the call.
Yeah. A lot of scams happening right now these days. And by the way, too, if you do get this pitch, you can be part of making sure that these scammers get shut down, right? The more complaints that the different watchdog agencies receive about a particular scam, the more ammunition they have to take these people down that are running it. So report this scam to your federal student loan servicer, to the FTC, to the CFPB. Report it everywhere, right? And even to your state's attorney general's office. Hanging up is the first good move, and then, you know, reporting it after that is the next best move.
All right, let's talk about jobs, buddy. There have been some interesting stories lately about folks without a college degree being able to find higher paying jobs. There is, in essence, a blue-collar jobs boom happening right now. The Wall Street Journal reports that pay is going up quickly in the blue-collar space because there aren't enough workers out there to fill these jobs that exist. So if you're looking for work right now, you can look to warehouse work or residential building work because those fields specifically are in desperate need right now.
Yeah, and one other option, Matt, for people is to become a Whole Foods store manager.
Yeah, if you're looking to make those six figures.
Yeah. CEO John Mackey was quoted, you know, recently as saying that you can make $100,000 a year there.
Like more than 100K is what
yeah,
he said.
if you rise to the level of store manager. So, I mean, I had a friend, Matt, who became a store manager at Starbucks, and he was making really good money as a store manager there. So,
plus they had some awesome benefits. I know they had an amazing company match as well that he may or may not have been taking advantage of.
Yeah, plus that free education, I mean, which he also wasn't taking advantage of, but the benefits are solid there.
And we're not going to mention any names, but you know who you are.
but yeah, I saw that article, saw that Whole Foods was paying that much for store managers, and that just made me realize, man, there are some jobs out there for folks who don't have a college education. And, you know, while I think a college education is still incredibly helpful for a lot of people to find a job with top-tier pay, it just goes to show that it's not always necessary. And if you're intentional, foregoing college in order to pursue the blue collar route, you know, it might even pay off in a bigger way for you as the cost of college rises and blue collar professions need more folks, right? As there are, you know, more of these blue collar workers retiring, they need fresh people to fill those roles. And there's not enough already. So, you know, we even spent an entire episode talking about blue collar jobs with Ken Rusk. That was episode 277. So if you heard that and you're like, oh, wait, I can actually get paid a decent amount of money and I can start to work with my hands, if that's something I'm interested in, well, we'd encourage you to go back and listen to that episode. Ken had a lot of good advice for people who are trying to pivot in that way.
Yeah, and that was just such a great conversation, too, about just kind of removing the stigma. I mean, that's one of the things we talked about. Like, a lot of times, blue-collar work, you know, working with your hands is seen as less than white-collar work. But Ken just has such a great perspective on it as a blue-collar worker himself, essentially, you know, throughout the decades of working with his hands. That was just such a great conversation. Yeah, we would recommend for folks to check that one out. Joe, let's talk about privacy. There is some news as it pertains to the ads that we see when we're online. The way that Google tracks you and the way that they serve ads to you is going to be changing. On Wednesday, they announced that starting next year, that they're going to plan to stop using or investing in tracking technologies that uniquely identify web users as they move from site to site across the internet. So now you might be thinking, sweet, no more ads on the internet.
Oh, no, that's not happening.
that is not how it works. Google will still feed you ads based on your browsing if you're using a Google site like YouTube or Google Search. And so this is called what they call first-party data. They're still going to use that information. It's just that they're not going to be using information from other sites, what they call third-party sites.
Yeah, so basically, Matt, like, you really still have to be alert and vigilant when it comes to that perfect ad that pops up while you're browsing and resist the urge to click and buy, right?
That's true. Well, I was going to say, too, one of the specific ways I've used for years to eliminate ads, you know, while I'm on the computer is called Reader View. And so if you've never tried it before on a Mac in Safari, you can just hit Shift-Command-R. And so, say if you're reading an article, all the pop-up ads, the sidebar ads, and countless other distracting things will just disappear. It's amazing. You can turn it off by hitting the same keys, or you can actually click. There's a little document icon up at the top, like right next to the URL. But I would highly recommend that. Like, it is fantastic. If in particular, if you're sitting down and like reading a long-form article or something like that, it just brings me so much peace. Like when I use that keystroke, and all the crap just like disappears. It melts away.
Yeah, I didn't even know that this
so
was
good.
A thing. And then, you know, you told me today. And so I use Chrome and I found out that Google has something buried. There's a way to get Reader View on the Chrome browser as well. And so we'll put a link to how you can do that in the show notes because, yeah, it's nice to be able to at the, you know, a swift click, be able to eliminate those ads to prevent you from the distractions while you're trying to read some articles on the internet.
Yeah, keep you from spending your money that you don't really want to spend. It's just that, like, you're enticed.
It just allows me to focus while I'm reading stuff. You
like,
know?
That's honestly why I do it. Like, I'm very easily distracted. So,
yeah.
Like, I have to isolate all the other stimuli that present themselves to me.
Yeah, I feel like I'm reading, you know, internet stories for far too much time out of the day, like, largely for work here,
right? That's what we do.
And so, yeah, that's how we put together this episode. Episode every week.
Friday flight episodes especially.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, so we've got more stories to get to, more timely personal finance information that you need to know, including the ludicrous headline of the week.
That's right.
That's about the worst place to buy a car. We'll get to that right after this break.
All right, we are back, and it is time now for our ludicrous headline of the week, which is used cars. When does an $8,000 vehicle cost $21,000? Which is, it sounds pretty terrible, right? And so this one is actually from Car and Driver. And this was an excellent profile of buy here, pay here car lots. Millions of people buy cars at these lots every year. And these lots prey specifically on folks with super low credit scores. And so not only are folks finding a car to buy at one of these lots, but they're getting their financing there too, which is bad news, often in the 20 to 30% range.
Ouch.
Yeah. And so because of this, you know, exorbitant interest rate and the poor quality of many of the vehicles, 4 out of 10 buy here, pay here customers defaulted on their loans last year. And so, and obviously, you know, this puts them in an even more precarious spot than they were even before they had purchased that car.
Yeah. And the advertisements that you see for those buy here, pay here lots are like, we can help you out. We got your back. We can get you in a car, you know, when
no credit, no problem.
Yeah. Nobody else can. And that turns out, they'll get you in a car. It's going to cost you.
Yeah.
And yeah, Car and Driver ran the math. A typical Chevy Cruze with 105,000 miles on it should cost about $8,000, maybe a bit less, maybe even seven. But Buy Here, Pay Here lots charge a whole lot more for that vehicle. They charge higher fees, and the interest paid isn't even close to that of what a conventional dealer would offer you. We're talking almost $6,000 in interest over the life of the loan instead of, you know, roughly only $700 in interest if you got it through a conventional dealer, and even less, of course, if you got it at a credit union. So, yeah. The worst place to buy a car? Buy Here, Pay Here lots, like hands down.
Easily. Yeah, definitely. Basically, those places suck. They allow you to put down very little money and still drive away with a car today, you know? I feel like I can just hear the ads on TV. Like, it's been forever since I've, you know, since we've watched TV. I mean, literally, I feel like it's been since, like, college.
Yeah.
Since I've sat down and, like, had the TV on where you would hear local commercials. But, like, at least in my mind, that it's, like, burned into my psyche a little bit.
I feel like if a friend was like, I think I'm going to go buy a car down here, I'd be like, you might want to keep riding your bike or like walk or take the bus instead.
Seriously.
Because that's how bad these lots are. That's how much they take advantage of you. And, you know, you're buying a car at just a highly inflated price, all the other stuff that goes along with it. And, you know, with 40% of people defaulting, that is a bad sign.
Yeah, seriously bad. Let's keep moving, dude. Let's talk about how you can earn more in your piddly savings account. You know, we all are wishing that we were earning more interest. And, you know, while you should switch to an online savings account to earn more than what you're currently earning if you haven't done so yet, there is one way you can legitimately earn more interest on your savings, and that is by grabbing Series I savings bonds. This isn't something we talk about often, but, you know, we do get a lot of questions from listeners who are frustrated by the low returns on savings, and they think that investing their savings is the answer. But, you know, that comes with some risk, you know, and if you might need that money in the next few years, it's a bad idea. But you can buy Series I savings bonds through the Treasury Department directly and get a return of more than 1%. Specifically, right now, you can get a return of 1.68%, which is pretty great.
Yeah, that sounds a whole lot better than what, you know, your savings account is getting you at whatever bank you're at.
Exactly.
And that's because I bonds are guaranteed to keep up with inflation, which is why the rate is so good, right? Yeah. And there's no real risk either, as they're backed up by the U.S. government. But there are some downsides, right?
True.
It's not all good.
It's not all rainbows and kittens and butterflies or whatever.
But it is mostly. Here's the downside. You do have to hold an I bond for 12 months before you can redeem it.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is like your money will be tied up. Like you cannot take that money out for 12 months. And this is why we wouldn't necessarily recommend it for an emergency fund. Because like typically for your emergency fund, like you want to have that cash liquid and you want to be able to access it immediately if in case there is an emergency. If not, then it's not really an emergency fund, is it? It's just it's kind of like a I don't know, like a long-term savings.
It's like you locked it away in a vault and you can't touch it for a year. But you know, for a lot of people who do want to put a portion of their savings somewhere where they can earn a higher rate, this is probably the best place for you to consider right now. So I bonds are worth looking into. Another potential downside is if you need your money, you know, anytime between 1 year and 5 years, you will lose out on 3 months of interest if you redeem your I bonds in that period of time. But yeah, after that 5 year mark, you're good to go and you get to keep all the interest you've accrued. And it's also good to know that individuals can buy up to $10,000 each year in I bonds. So yeah, it might be the perfect place to stash some of your savings, but just make sure you keep some of it liquid, completely liquid as well.
Yeah, and we'll make sure to link to the website where you can buy those directly from the Treasury. Actually, I think it's treasurydirect.gov, but we'll make sure to link to that in our show notes. All right, time to talk about some real estate. Specifically, we wanted to start this discussion with real estate commissions. We feel, Joel, that they're a little high, right?
Yeah, you know? They are.
I mean, it's not that agents don't deserve to make money, like they definitely do. We're big fans of using a real estate agent for housing transactions. But the National Association of Realtors, they just released numbers and 44% of people start shopping online before they even hire a real estate agent. What we're realizing and what we're seeing, I mean, we knew this, but like, we're starting to see that the internet has completely changed the home buying process, right? And so while having a realtor on your side is still wise, it's still a good thing to do, we think that the way that agents are going to be getting paid in the future, kind of moving forward, that is going to change.
Yeah, it's already changing in other countries, and we're going to see it change here in the United States as well, I think. And we're already starting to see that change, right? Redfin is now publishing the commissions that agents make on their website. They're making it transparent, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And Redfin isn't available everywhere, but it's a site kind of like Zillow, right, where you can peruse homes and find an agent when you are ready to go look or make an offer. And they've done a great job in lowering fees for folks who list their home on there. And Redfin CEO Glenn Kelman said, home buyers will finally see how much money their agent stands to earn on any home for sale, letting them evaluate whether they're getting good value for their money. And again, Matt, you and I were all about using real estate agents, and we're all about them being able to make a living. But the current 3% commission for each agent model is a model that isn't long for this world. And I'm glad that it's being shaken up with websites and companies like Redfin, and I think we're going to continue to see more of that. And for home buyers and home sellers, I think sometimes it might be worth it to have a conversation with your agent about how they're compensated. Oftentimes, you know, those commission numbers are hidden a little bit. And again, that's why I like at least the transparency that Redfin is putting out there. We're going to publish how much your agent is going to make. I feel like that's what we need more in the real estate process, a little more transparency all around.
Yeah, it makes me think back to the very first house we purchased. It dawned on us, like in the middle of searching for a home, that like, wait a minute, how do you get paid? And we had a perfectly legitimate, honest, awesome realtor. But it took us asking because it's not normally something that they talk about.
Yeah.
And so we talked about it and I was like, oh, okay. Like, so I'm not paying for that. In the end, that's what it came down to, right? So as the buyer, typically, that's not something that you have to pay for. It's typically on the seller. But I feel like that's just a small illustration of kind of how, you know, those fees are hidden a little bit in the entire process.
Totally.
And so continuing, you know, this real estate theme, Zillow, everybody knows Zillow, they will now make cash offers based on Zestimates for certain homes. And we also all know about Zestimates. You know, looking at homes on Zillow has kind of basically become like a pastime for folks these days. And so Zillow, they are totally putting their money where their mouth is. They've been getting into the e-buying space over the last couple of years where they will make an offer and purchase your home without you having to hire an agent and put it, you know, in on the open market and, you know, where you're letting hordes of unknown people into your home, which has obviously become much less attractive these days, right?
Totally.
Well, you know, now, so for certain homes, Zillow's Zestimate will now represent an initial cash offer from the company to buy the property. And so this might not get you top dollar, but it could get you out of your home on an even quicker timeline if that's a priority for you. It's just another way that technology is starting to impact the area of real estate, which we kind of like seeing. So we expect lots more of this in the months and the years to come.
Yep. All right. We got one more real estate story to get to because it was a busy week in real estate news. The supply of homes has plummeted 55%. So there's just a whole lot fewer homes on the market right now, which has led to inflated home prices and bidding wars out the wazoo. And if you've been trying to buy a home, you know this already.
Yeah, you know this firsthand.
Yeah, you don't want to hear me talk about it because you're upset right now. You're not too happy about it. But with the supply and demand being out of kilter in such a big way, and with the price of renting actually falling in a whole lot of cities, while home prices are ballooning, renting is super smart for a lot of folks right now. You may not want to rent, but it's going to be the best thing for your budget, right?
Yes.
And so if you really, really want to buy a home, it could behoove you to continue renting and continue saving until the market starts to shift and more people are willing to put their home on the market, bringing kind of supply and demand back in a little bit of a balance. But right now, they're just completely out of whack. Home prices continue to rise. Rents are falling. It's like, it's a renter's market out there, man. And so, yeah. And that hasn't been the case for a number of years. Rents have gone up and up, but now they're starting to dip in many places. So even if buying a home is something that you truly desire, we would say, I don't know, you might want to wait till the market corrects itself a little bit.
Dude, I wouldn't even be surprised if that happens as early as this summer. I mean, things have been crazy throughout this winter, and that's where we've seen this dramatic decrease in the supply of homes on the market. But as more people get the vaccine, as the weather warms up, like folks are getting more used to being out and about, you know, like they're not so shell-shocked anymore from, you know, the pandemic and the state that it's left us in. I really wouldn't be surprised if we start to see things kind of cool down a little bit, even the spring, but, you know, definitely by the summer, which is typically kind of the opposite, right? Like things typically heat up in the summer. I wouldn't be surprised if things are a little weird as the temperatures start to rise. But Joel, so in the middle of that real estate sort of section, I wanted to interrupt and basically call you out for completely blending into our studio. So you're sitting here with a green sweater on that is the exact color of the wall behind you. You've got your navy/black Atlanta Braves hat on that completely blends into our soundproofing panels. And your face is tan color, just like, dude, it's ridiculous. If you can see what I am seeing right now, it was very distracting for a few minutes ago.
All right,
we should post a picture or something like that.
Yeah, take a picture, put it on the
screen. We'll let folks see. It is very funny. And I'm actually proud of myself for not interrupting the actual news and the things we truly did want to talk about.
The meaningful content of the show with
commenting on your appearance.
Yes, I appreciate that.
But we'll totally share it.
We'll post a picture. Yeah, and if you don't follow How to Money on Instagram yet, just go follow How to Money Pod. Matt and I are often, you know, posting the episodes, the beers we're having, and we're going to do more stuff with our Instagram this year too. So go give us a follow over there, and you can see my awkward outfit.
All right, that's going to be it for this episode. We hope everyone has a great weekend, and we hope to see you back here on Monday. We've got a great listener questions episode lined up for you, so we'll see you then. Joel, until next time,
best friends out.
Best friends out.